Now, back to SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201. Sports Zone 964 if you're listening to Sirius XM online. And at our website, stevebick.com. A important Monday. Here we are. It's the 12th, and we've got now less than 3 weeks to Derby and Oaks, and all your points have been meted out. And now there's just some decisions to be made in terms of who stays, who goes, who participates, who waits maybe for a Preakness opportunity. And we'll go over it this morning. Jay Pribman, actually, early, not that early, hour two. Jay's going to visit. We'll do the prep season wrap-up on Derby Watch with Jay. And the watch now is on some horses like Sainthood, who appears to be, from all indication, appears to be ready to participate for Todd Pletcher and Windstar. And Ron Bauer, who seems to be more interested right now in Preakness. So some of the horses down at the bottom of the list after two upsets, one that instantly impacted the Derby pecking order, that with Superstock's win in the Arkansas Derby, and one that becomes potentially impactful when we talk about King Fury. Kenny McPeak actually will join us, and I'm actually glad Kenny was tied up, what, 2 weeks ago after the crazy, beautiful win. So I'm actually kind of glad the way it turned out that he couldn't join us then. And there's a bunch of things we can talk about with Kenny, including Simply Ravishing, who is, as we mentioned the other day, was retired after the Ashland try. But King Fury's upset in the Lexington, a quick 20, puts him at about 23rd on the list. And you got the sense listening to Ken that they would certainly participate if, you know, the marginal line of Derby participation drops down that far. And of course, Superstock jumps in with 100 points, had 9 going in. So that puts him third in the total list. And I'll give you, I'll give you a quick rundown. Essential Quality, of course, going to be your Derby favorite. Hot Rod Charlie set. And of course, there'll be some decision making on the part of Joel Rosario and Ron Anderson over the weekend results. You would have thought that if Concert Tour performed certainly to the way he was bet and expectation, that might have been the lean. Now, it's hard to believe they wouldn't give serious consideration to Hot Rod Charlie, but, you know, Ron's going to let some of the chips fall. There's plenty of things will happen here in the next 10 to 14 days. Superstock, the amazing story. Steve Asmussen will join us after Kenny in this hour. And it's a wonderful family story with Superstock, who was really cleverly ridden by Ricardo Santana Jr. Basically let that speed duel unfold up front, Caddo River and Concert Tour. You know, we talked about this, and you know, it's funny because it looked like Caddo River was the one that was under pressure, and that Concert Tour was raiding comfortably, it looked like, on the backstretch. And then when they turned for home, you could see that they were going to get swallowed up the way Superstock, kicked off the rail and ran them down easily. And, you know, Cattle River stayed on well enough to rest the placement away from Concert Tour. So, anyway, the decision-making process will unfold. Like the King, and Like the King hasn't gotten much conversation. I mean, we talked to Wesley Ward the other day, last week, but Like the King working on turf, I get the sense that there's maybe a decision pending with him, even. So we'll see. Known agenda, of course, all set. Pletcher and Arad. Rock Your World set. Bourbonic. Pletcher Carmouche set. Medina Spirit. Bob Baffert, Johnny V. Concert Tour. He's got plenty of points. Sitting comfortably, but going to have to regroup. Baffert called it a kind of a head scratcher. Is it a distance issue? I mean, certainly you would think fitness-wise, it's a rarity. Not too often that a Baffert horse is going to go to an assignment like that and be, you know, under fit. So that's got to be figured out. Weyburn, of course, heading for the Belmont. So he's 10th in points, but cross him out. Midnight Bourbon, we'll get an update. He's kind of out of sight, out of mind. But Midnight Bourbon, he's your 10th on the list, you know, with me kind of keeping the, you know, the people, the points under consideration. But even though they're taking up a slot on the official leaderboard, we know they're not running in terms of Weyburn. Mandaloon, talked the other day to Brad Cox. It seems like he's participating. Cattle River out of this. The initial reaction from Brad Cox was Preakness for him. So even though he's sitting what would be 13th, probably not participating. Highly Motivated all set for Chad. Helium all set, of course, off the Tampa win. Panadol would be next, 14th on my list. And there's a decision pending this week. Kevin Kirstein told me over the weekend that Panadol not guaranteed to come. The initial reaction out of the UAE Derby performance was that he would for Shadwell, but they'll make a decision this week. Soup and Sandwich, all set. And Tyler Gaffleone got the mount over the weekend for Mrs. Weber and Mark Cassie. Worked very nicely the other morning, too. What was that, Saturday morning? Soup and Sandwich. I've got him as 15th. Dynamic 1, 16th set for Pletcher, and I guess Jose Ortiz. Sainthood. I would think that, you know, you would take your time with him, but, you know, fourth career start? There's a lot of those types involved in this field. Proxy, certainly going to go on to other opportunities, even though he would have enough points. Can't see it. Rombauer, as I said, it feels like the Fradkins are leaning more toward Preakness. We'll get more on that this week. In fact, I'd like to get the Fradkins to visit. They're having a lot of fun. No matter what they're doing, they're enjoying themselves. Then that would leave you right now with the horses that I've got on the sideline, meaning Weyburn, Cattle River, of course, Crowded Trade, too, we should mention, heading to Preakness. Proxy, probably the turf, listening to Stidham the other day with me. Rombauer, if they pass, that would leave you with Hidden Stash, Dream Shake, and Obisos as your 18th, 19th, and 20th participants right now. So there may be... You know, if Rombauer comes in, Obisos is 21. If Panadol doesn't come, Obisos is 20th. So Obisos really is, you know, he is the anchor leg in this field right now. Then Get Her Number, Hosier, King Fury, Hockey Dad, Keep Me in Mind. Those are your next five. And then there's a few stragglers that are, you know, have points, but five deep of AEs right now is fine. So there you go. There's your snapshot if you hadn't had a chance to, you know, kind of parse all that out. Plenty to talk about, certainly, and the grade ones over the weekend. Raging Bull comes back. Chad had a terrific weekend, and it's funny. He wins the Grade One Maker's Mark Mile, but the horse that you feel like you want to talk about is Stage Raider, the Justify, and the Lieutenant sibling for John Gunther. And Gunther, I know, excited as can be. And Stage Raider, terrific, breaking the maiden, 95 buyer. In fact, to be honest, with some of the confounding results when it comes to these past two weekends, you fold in Bourbonic and so forth, and Rock Your World, rocking everybody's world when it came to the Santa Anita Derby. You fold all this in, the 2-3-year-olds that I think people were most excited about out of the weekend was Stage Raider and Following C, Baffert's maiden winner, just three quarters, but that's a nice run. Happy Colt, 97 buyer, winning, breaking the maiden on Saturday at Oaklawn. Of course, you had the wet track, too, at Keeneland on Saturday, which kind of throws things into a bit of a, you know, a bit of confusion. Lots of other fun things to talk about on the Grade One topic. Juliet Foxtrot gets the elusive G1 in the Jenny Wiley on the front end for Brad Cox and Tyler Gaffleone. And you know, one thing I did not get a chance to do, I meant to do this on Saturday. I'll talk about our Saturday in a second, but I guess it was Friday after the show, and I don't even know what made me—I don't even know what made me think about it. But I looked up. I wanted to look up. It occurred to me. I never looked up Jenny Wiley. Does anybody? And a bunch of you are saying, "How do you not know the Jenny Wiley story?" Holy cow! For those of you that haven't looked it up, I'm sure there's a movie or a documentary that's been done about it. I had no idea. No idea. Capture. I mean, a horrific story. Horrible. The husband was off trapping and during daylight hours thought it was okay to leave her and the family alone for the afternoon. Indian raiders come looking for retribution for two that were killed earlier in the week or something, and they got the wrong cabin. Unbelievable. It's out of The Searchers. It was like Lonesome Dove meets The Searchers. Blue Duck. I don't even know what to say. If you haven't ever looked this up, it's amazing. There's a state park and the whole, I was just curious. I thought, Jenny Wiley, nobody ever talked. Now I know why nobody talks about the race and why it's named after Jenny Wiley. Holy cow. Anyway, she ends up captive. The Indians take her. They kill the children, a bunch of them, like four of them. And then, so they keep her for several years and then she is, you know, is let out later and oh my God. it was new to me. I not to start your morning off with a, you know, with a scary storyline, but boy, look it up if you want to know more. Juliet Foxtrot. How about the Ben Ally, Silver Dust, and Brett Calhoun with two of his handicap horses? Silver Dust wins that Ben Ally, and this has always been a favorite of mine. And what a tough old tap at gelding. And with his next decent score, he's going to be a millionaire. And by my standards, the Oaklawn Mile, that may have been, in a lot of ways, that probably was the most exciting race of the day. Right? I mean, that was terrific. And, you know, it just goes to show you don't need necessarily, you don't have to have the, 12 horse field every single race for excitement. Although that was a good size field, but rushy and by my standards. And it's funny when they hit the wire, When they hit the wire, I thought live, I thought, ooh, I think, and I kind of needed Rushy. I really kind of leaned pretty heavily on Rushy. And then when they hit the wire, I thought, ugh, by my standards, got him. But then when they showed it a couple times in slow motion, I thought, ooh, you know what? Maybe he got it. Maybe he got the nose in and down. But it was by my standards. Gabe Saez. A nice horse. By my standards. Big win. John Sadler, for those of you that are continuing to try to pretend that John Sadler can't win outside California, well, you got beat again. Edgeway. Edgeway. Really good in the carousel. Really good. That was a nice day of racing at Oakland, and they called it 17,000 in terms of attendance. Nice, getting the breathing the life back into the tracks, really kind of fun. Back to Keeneland, and you mentioned the Maker's Mark. The action on Friday was a lot of fun, and I enjoyed. I wasn't focused as much on Keeneland on Saturday, but Friday's racing, particularly with the mile and with the limestone early, and that the limestone got carved up. A bunch of horses kept coming out all morning and into the afternoon, and finally, left with a fairly, went from a 12, 13 horse field down to how many? Seven. And that Toby's Heart for Brian Lynch. The other sprint, by the way, the other turf sprint, how about Michelle Lovell? Michelle Lovell does such a great job and change of control. And we tell you, in terms of a value, you got every bit, considering how many people, we a lot of us were kind of looking for change of control as a price option, and 9-1 paid $19.80 with Colby Hernandez aboard. So part of the Keeneland action, I think. That hit the stakes highlights from the weekend. Plenty of other performances to talk about, but right now Kenny McPeak joins us, so we're going to focus on Kenny's scores over the last couple of weeks. And Kenny, good morning, congratulations.
Good morning,
Kenny. Let's start with Saturday, and then we'll work our way backwards toward Crazy Beautiful and the King Fury. This is one of those performances after the fact, you think, this is a horse probably should have looked at a little bit more closely. Some thoughts about how this came off.
Well, I think in hindsight, I shouldn't have run him in the Breeders' Cup last fall. We had a bit of an aggressive program with him. He was a horse, he's really solid, but nothing went right on Breeders' Cup day, and I think that softened him a little bit for his last race of the year. But we turned him out for 60 days after that, and gave him a little bit of a break to fill out, grow up, and heal up a little bit. He had a little distal bone bruising, which is nothing major. But he, in my mind, this past weekend, he was 2-1. I'm not a big gambler, but when I saw 18-1, I was laughing. I was like, this is crazy. This horse is not going to be less than third today. And he's trained that well. And plus, his last workout was a little bit let's just say the riders messed up. They went too slow on him. He was supposed to go in a minute, and they went 103, which, trainers, it makes us crazy when they make those kind of mistakes. But he didn't need a lot. And obviously, he ran big. I mean, this horse is going to love Churchill, too, and we're wondering if we got a chance to get in. It's out of our control, so we'll sit back and wait and see what happens.
You're not in bad shape, actually. I went over it this morning. Right now, with the horses that I have been tracking that probably aren't going to participate in Derby, you're third on the A list right now. I'm using Obisos as 20th, and so you'd be 23rd right now.
Which ones are out? I don't even know.
Well, Weyburn's going to the Belmont. It sure felt like Brad Cox was leaning Preakness with Caddo River. Crowded Trade is going Preakness. Proxy's certainly not running. The Fradkins seem to be leaning toward Preakness with Rombauer. And we're going to hear from Panadol this week, whether they're coming Shadwell. And I don't know if there's any, if there's a guarantee that Sainthood, I guess Elliot Walden told Churchill that right now they're a go with Sainthood, but to me it seems like they'd be better off, you know, horse like that, you know, taking your time. But anyway, they might participate. So, you know, you're not in bad shape.
We'll see. Like I said, it's out of our control, so we're not going to worry about it too much. Our work schedule's not going to change, even if he goes to the Preakness. So we're going to set him down following Saturday prior and keep our fingers crossed.
Would you, a couple of things. For starters, we had fun on, I think it was with Marty, on Friday. I don't know, Kenny, if I've ever seen a horse start their career with six straight races at a mile and a 16th.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we got him. We knew he was a distance horse, so we waited until the fall of his 2-year-old year. But he wins first time out here, which we kind of expected. But that's kind of a coincidence. You know, he could do whatever you ask him. As a matter of fact, there's another one at 7-8. So,
well, yeah,
it wouldn't surprise me if I tried that. But I do think that he's get into a habit of running.
Hey.
What the task at hand is, and it makes it a little bit easier.
Kenny, I'm losing you a little bit. Audio, you kind of faded in and out there for a second.
Yeah, well, that's my dog. He's in the office here, and he's all anxious. But anyway, you're probably hearing him in the background.
No, it was just the volume. Your volume just sort of faded away for a minute, and then came back up. You mentioned the dam. The dam, of course, Taris, who was a very good 7/8 mare.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, she had a bunch of talent, and you know, it's between Curlin and her. They both had sprinter speed if you needed it, and this colt's a beautiful horse to be around. It's the most expensive horse I've ever bought at auction for a client.
Wow.
So there was a bit of pressure on me. So, you know, at this point, he's taking us the right direction. I'm looking forward to the Travers in summer. I think he's ideal for that.
Well, you got plenty of opportunity between now and then. Let me ask you this: if it looks like you can't get in to Derby, would you just wait for a Preakness opportunity, or would you even think about something like the Pat Day Mile? Is that worth considering?
No, we won't run in the Pat Day Mile.
All right.
We'll wait for the Preakness if we don't draw in.
Very good. And, you know, you mentioned the purchase. He was a Saratoga yearling, $950,000, and bred by the Heider family. And this is Three Chimneys and Fern Circle. And, you know, has really, you mentioned the breeder, after the Breeders' Cup and then, you know, the Kentucky Jockey Club, when you put the blinkers on, you took blinkers off. And, Ken, your numbers, when you play around with blinkers, coming into this over the last 18 months, 2 for 5 when you take blinkers off. So it's something that you do with purpose.
Yeah, you know, actually, I'm going to tell you, I don't believe a good horse really needs them. You know, I've trained enough graded winners, and I think you'll look at most of them don't have any blinkers on. You know, a good horse can look another horse in the eye pretty easily and say, okay, I gotcha. But anyway, yeah, we're rare when we either use them at all, and when we do, and they don't work out, we jump them right back off. But no big deal.
Well, this was a nice performance and got some pace to run into. Brian Hernandez Jr., who is Jay Pribman's going to be with us later. Jay is always singing the praises of Brian and how savvy he is judging pace and moving at the right time and such. And King Fury comes away with a Lexington win. And you've used this race. You've used this race a number of times, right? This is who else have you come to this with? Somebody else recently?
Well, I won it with Senior Investment.
Okay.
And I was second in it with a Golden Ticket. And I've had some other runs in it, I think. But yeah, Senior Investment was also a Fern Circle horse as well. And we opted to wait for the Preakness with him, and he ran big in the Preakness, ran third.
That's right.
You know, and that horse is still punching around now and winning at, I think, allowance level. And I think he's won a small stake here or there since. But this is a lot better horse. This is a lot better horse than Senior Investment was going into the Lexington a few years ago. And I said to Mr. Fangman, I said, you need to watch today because we can win this race again. And if he does, it's going to, you know, maybe take us to bigger, better things. And, of course, we pulled it off. And 18-1 was a laugher. I loved it.
Well, a new stake winner for Curlin. He won a new, we can call it a new graded stake winner. Because, right, because the Street Sense, so yeah, Street Sense is listed. Going back to last year, but now a stake winner at 2 and 3, and plenty ahead for King Fury coming out of this. Kenny, let's talk a couple other, stay on the weekend for a minute before we dial back toward Crazy Beautiful's Oaks win. And you had that Fighting Seabee win. Want to mention that, and came close with Front Street in the maiden race as well. Ran into obviously what looks to be a major horse when it comes to the Justify sibling, but it doesn't look like Front Street will be a maiden long.
Yeah, you know, she's good solid filly. Yeah, she was getting into a little bit of a habit of being crazy. We've had to gear her down a little bit. I thought Robbie rode her really well that day because she's wanting to go to the front and then quit, which is a really bad habit for me to you know, watch. And we're trying to get her so she rates a little bit and gets into a little better habit of sitting behind horses and then making a run. And I do think she wants to run longer than this. So I think she's still got a bright future. She's a good, solid filly. Peter Callahan and Greg Back are partners on her.
Well, and I mentioned the runaway winner, but it was the Friday runaway winner, not Saturday. It was the Mott, that Caramel Swirl, that was the resounding winner up front ahead of Front Street. Exactly. Kenny, let's slip in really the only – probably the only frustration or disappointment in the last couple of weeks, going back to the Ashland last week and Simply Ravishing. Explain to everybody what transpired.
Well, she developed a breathing problem over the winter, and, it's not something that we felt – something we can't fix in the short run. We're not going to try to force that, and didn't want to get into any surgeries or long layoffs, and – we decided to retire. It's unfortunate. I think she's a freaky talented filly. She's leg-wise, she's perfectly sound, but she's not going to be able to compete at 100% at the highest level. And she's already won a grade one. So we've done our job in that sense. We only gave $50,000 for her as a yearling, and she, her talent, man, I tell you this, I nominated her to the Derby. I mean, I did the free Derby nom, and because I thought I could win another Preakness with her. I'll be honest, she could look King Fury in the eye at any point on her best day. But those things happen. So it's a fragile game, and sometimes things don't go the way you want, and we're having to make a decision. She's going to be bred to end the mischief. We are. Working the deal, actually signing the contracts now, and going to proceed with that. And likelihood is that if we don't keep her as a broodmare, we will offer her up in the fall here in Kentucky.
Wow. Well, Simply Ravishing, and I saw where last week afterward there were a few major names being considered as a breeding partner, and the Leoban daughter will into mischief. Very nice.
It's a good problem, for Mr. Yeah. Lerner. And look, she's got every bit of potential as a broodmare. And there was this notion she was lame after the race. It's completely untrue. She's
perfectly sound, and she's look, we're going to do the right thing, and instead of trying to fix the problem and that we felt like was slim to nil to resolve, that she'll make a great broodmare, and she's beautiful filly. She looks like Ruffy, and I mean she's just gorgeous. So let's see if we can go out and win the thing with Crazy Beautiful.
Exactly. Well, knowing Harold Lerner's good fortune and luck, she'll either bring seven figures in the sale, or she'll breed a series of stake horses, one or the other.
Yeah, no, she's got a big chance to be a great winner.
I love it. Let's talk about Crazy Beautiful, and I'm glad, as it turns out, that we didn't connect after the Gulfstream. I always want to call it the Florida Oaks, but it's the Florida Oaks is at Tampa. Crazy Beautiful, and she was just loaded, Kenny. Something tells me you had the same mindset going into that as you did, apparently, with King Fury going into Saturday.
Yeah, she... I thought she was brilliantly ridden by Jose Ortiz. He got her to settle back and get in nice gear. This filly's had a couple of races where she had some excuses too, where the pace she had traffic. She should have won the Pocahontas, but nothing went right. She ran okay in the Breeders' Cup, but she was running behind some horses and she was hitting herself. We actually figured out that her high suspensories at the end of the season were bugging her. And so we rested her as well, kind of similar to King Fury. She got a couple of months off post her two-year-old year. And I think it's made a big difference. I mean, she trained like a beast this morning here at Churchill. And I do think she's got to move up in speed figures and run a little bigger number than she's shown us. But I think she's up for it, and especially if Jose times the ride like he did in Florida, I think she's a filly that definitely has an outside chance in the Oaks.
Nice. And in terms of, I'm just going to pull up, in fact, let's take a look. Yeah, she worked on Saturday, half a mile, and so we got, looking at the schedule, you got... two more works, a serious work next week, and then something easy the week after.
She's pretty fit, filly. Right now, I've got her down for working Saturday. I'm not sure if I'll even work her in company. She's doing everything right, and there's no sense in pounding on her too hard. But she's gonna fire a big shot. She'll get two maintenance breezes going into the Oaks, and we're all set.
Very nice. Liam's Map filly out of Indian Charlie Mare, Indian Burn, originally bred by Mrs. Vogel. And this was, you gave real money for her, $250.
Yeah, I'm destroying my reputation between King Fury and
That's not true. That's not true. That Indian Burn was a horse that John Hurtler trained for Mrs. Vogel, for Cross Sabers, and easy to say nice things and shine a light on John Hurtler for sure. Well, Kenny, I tell you, all things considered, you're heading toward the big weekend in nice shape. You mentioned winning another Preakness with the back of your mind. How about a Swiss Skydiver update?
Yeah, all good. She had another nice breeze here at Churchill this weekend. She was scheduled to ship on Tuesday or tomorrow to Arkansas, but we're going to push it today. And this is a real big race. This is exciting. We're going to go down there with a big gun, and we're going to hook horns with another big gun. It's going to be maybe a classic of its own. So we'll see. And we've also got the good filly En Boutant nominated for that race down there. And there's not a – we haven't ruled out entering her for the Apple Blossom as well. And both fillies are also nominated to the La Troyenne. So high level problems and decisions here. But it's all good.
Well, and of course, what's on the horizon for Apple Blossom is – the confrontation with Monomoy Girl, and in terms of early season you know, early season high profile matchups, that this is about as good as you're going to get in April.
No, yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's probably going to lead to a short field too, but yeah, it's exciting. We're looking forward to all these runners. I mean, you know, keeping a stable built up and having these kind of horses it's hard, and you certainly have to handle some average horses to get to these kind. And we're fortunate we've got a good base of clientele that understands the web and flow and ups and the downs and the peaks and the valleys and the punches in the mouth you get to get here. So it's all good.
Let me ask you about that Ontario bred that you tried in the Louisiana Derby, that Il Malocchio, and of course with things right now up in the air in Ontario, what's your game plan with him? How's he come out of that, and what are you looking at?
Well, to clarify, Il Malocchio is a filly, and
she
ran in the Oaks down there, Fairgrounds Oaks, and we disappointed in a run. We really thought she'd run a lot better, but we will take her to, she's going to run in an Everyone 2 allowance race at Keeneland on the 21st, I believe it is. And that's a really, really good spot, next spot for her. She's a good, solid filly, and you know, she broke her maiden in a stake race, so she's eligible for the Everyone 2, and we're getting her teed up for all that.
Nice. And then I mentioned earlier, I think on Thursday, yeah, fighting CB on Thursday, allowance win, and nothing entered yet for early week at Keeneland.
No, okay, couple things. Fighting CB, I'm going to tell you, this horse had a really, really unlucky 3-year-old season. He had a stress fracture in his cannon bone we had to stop on. He had issues recovering from that, which cost him his whole early three-year-old run. I think this horse is a grade one winner as a 3-year-old if he hadn't had those issues. And then he had some trouble trips, and this could went wrong, and that went wrong. But I think we got him back on form. He was a lovely horse to be around, and I love the sire Summer Front, and we'll get him sorted out, and I think you'll see that he's going to be a horse that's going to do some damage. Right now, we're probably going to point him towards the Louisville Handicap, or maybe just go 3 other than next time. And then I got Crafty Daddy going next weekend in the Elkhorn.
Oh, nice.
He was just coming off a third in the Turfway Classic, and that's a horse we're going to try at a mile and a half. He's a Scat Daddy, and for the Mackens. Lucky 7, and they've got a really good group of young horses coming up. For that matter, we've got probably as much depth in the 2-year-olds this year than I've ever had in my career, and I've had a pretty good depth of 2-year-olds in my
That's
career.
That's scary.
So it'll be interesting. The new training center has been Silverleaf Hills in Summerfield, Florida, has been a big asset. Huge asset, and Dominic Brennan and the team are getting young horses ready down there, and you'll see them start to uncork probably in the summer or the fall. We're not 4.5, 5.5 furlong outfit, so we'll see. It's going to be a great year.
Outstanding. Wow. Kenny wins Lexington and geared up for the Apple Blossom this weekend at Oaklawn as the Racing Festival of the South continues. Plenty of other nice horses at all levels. And there's a chance, Kenny, I'm talking to you next Monday as well. And when I do, I'll be at Churchill. We start the fortnight at the Downs on Monday. It's crazy how fast things have flown this winter, and here we are.
No, we're going to. My wife and I are going to get our COVID shots right now.
Excellent, good deal. Yeah. One time, or you got multiple? You got a this the first?
No, this is the first one. For whatever reason, we couldn't get them, and we're just now getting ready to go get that taken care of, which we're. We're going to get the Johnson & Johnson, so fingers crossed that all goes well.
There you go. And, so one time only. Nice.
Yeah, and otherwise I'll see you at Wagner's.
Hey, there you go. Kenny McPeak, everybody. And you can follow Kenny on Twitter. And the big horse, Swiss Skydiver, coming back against Monomoy Girl. And been looking forward to the draw. I wonder if they're going to draw early. I'll check with Hammer on that. They might, right? They've seemingly been drawing the Tuesdays for Saturday. Hammer, if you're listening, let me know. We're going to stay right here.
Right.
Oh, thanks, Kenny. I didn't know you were still there. Kenny McPeak, right. Everybody. And,
Take care.
You too. We'll see Kenny soon. And you know what? If Swiss Skydiver wins, we'll get him live next Monday at Churchill. We'll stay right here. Going to talk to Steve Asmussen next about really one of the nicest. You know, one of the nicest family stories you could imagine, given Superstock and Steve's father and Irv Woolsey, the owners. And, of course, this was the horse that that son Keith rode last fall. This was a family affair, right, as they say. So we'll get Steve in here, and plenty of actually got quite a bit for Steve as well. But Superstock, really cleverly handled by Ricardo Santana Jr. You know, coming out of the Rebel, second off the layoff. You know, there's you know, this again, like King Fury. This was one of those things where you say to yourself, yeah, you know. This is a horse that you could have found your way to, or you know, played in. I mean, I played him as a C, and I actually structurally, I made a couple of goofy decisions. I thought, in fact, Casey's trying to reach Steve, so I got a moment here to talk about the weekend, and it was a little distracted, to be honest, on Friday into Saturday as well. And you saw what I put up on Twitter. The filly, Voltarine, had her baby at 11 o'clock on Friday night. And Saturday morning, we jumped in the car and headed down to see the colt. And did have a colt. We didn't know. We were in the dark as to whether it was a boy or a girl. And absolutely gorgeous colt. That you know, she's a first time dam. And you know, sometimes you worry a little. You know, there's all kinds of reasons to worry. And the fact that she was over 3 weeks late. That really had us, to be honest, a little bit on edge. And but, you know, it's not unusual. But it seemed to be dragging. And the good part of it is, you know, she dropped a good-sized baby. And he's an uncle. He's a Motown, not Uncle Mo, Motown. So big thanks to... You know, the team at Coolmore America at Ashford and Leray Visaggi and his staff. I've been by the farm many times, Rock Ridge, but I had not, you know, really seen everything. And you got to spend an hour on Saturday morning. I also got to see Carlisle Bell, who's getting ready to be covered maybe the end of this week. And, you know, she retired. At the end of last year. So we got both of the mares down there. But this was, it's always exciting. And, you know, it's so much fun to, you see the way the baby and the mom and the way they interact. And you can tell how proud, you know, the mare is. And she did great, apparently. You know, sometimes they'll freak out a little bit and they don't necessarily take to it immediately, but she did. And We're excited. So looks like he's got a little bit of white on him. She's got a big blaze, and there might be a little bit of light. We'll see. You got to give it a few days, a week or two before some of the definition you get. But thanks to everybody down at Rock Ridge who did a tremendous a big thrill. It's a wonderful feeling, and anybody that's gone through it knows what it feels like. And if you haven't, you should make it. Casey was on the phone. He just texted me, Steve, try him again. All right. Yeah. He said he couldn't get off the phone. So Steve will be ready for you now. All right. So we'll get Steve Asmussen on the heels of Superstock's Arkansas Derby win. And I was I'm actually curious now because I was there for Creators Arkansas Derby, and of course that was very different coming from the clouds. this one a little bit more, you know, in touch with the field, and that was thanks to Santana's very clever ride. Steve Asmussen joins us on the heels of Saturday's Arkansas Derby win. The dialed in Colt for Irv Woolsey and for Steve's father, Keith. And this was very much a family story. And Steve, congratulations to everybody.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Going even back to last year when we talked about this horse, when Keith rode him to victory in the futurity, in the Texas futurity, this has been a special horse, obviously, for everybody from day one.
You can't even make this stuff up. Only horse racing can allow something like this to. This many positive emotions.
You could tell your father too. I mean, who's been through, has had his hands and had a hand in countless nice horses, and Mr. Woolsey, I imagine. But you can just tell that this just is just different to win at this level, as an owner and with you and with Keith having ridden him, and it just it's a feel good all the way around.
Absolutely, we've been extremely blessed to have crazy successes in this game, and then like what could possibly make it better? Keith, my son, winning, the namesake of my father, winning a stake on the colt. Oh, what could be better than that? Mom and dad at 79 years old to strut across the racetrack at Oaklawn Park and with a grade one win in the Arkansas Derby. It's just a gift that keeps on giving.
Talk about the horse himself and your approach to this. He came back with his 3-year-old debut in the Rebel and ran fairly evenly. I mean, beaten a half a dozen against most of the same here, Concert Tour and Hosier, for instance, and of course Big Lake, who gets unfortunately sidelined. Maybe we can circle back, but he obviously took a step forward, and this also was engineered with a great ride. I mean, talk about the approach and how this unfolded.
Well, I mean, it's an amazing story. Superstock, there's so many elements to this. Irv Woolsey and my dad purchased this horse as a yearling, a $70,000 yearling off TaylorMade. He was actually entered in the 2-year-old Texas in training sale, which was canceled because of the pandemic. So you're probably looking at a nice little profit on a talented horse
instead of the Arkansas Derby winner, but for the pandemic. And if not for the pandemic and school going online, Keith is not in the physical position, Keith, my son, not my father, to ride this horse. And then for that, I remember vividly the night of him winning the sales fraternity and just how exciting it was for me and Julie and the whole family and mom and dad. We were talking about how, you know, this isn't our story. This is mom and dad's story. You know, we're just bit players in it. You know, this moment's for them. And then, you know, the colt stepped up from that regional race to run a very solid race in the street fence at Churchill. And then I thought a very game third in the Breeders' Fraternity behind the eventual two-year-old champion and got his first points in the Iroquois. Leading up to the, after that, pointing towards the Kentucky Jockey Club, he had worked probably 13 days out before the race in spectacular fashion, and I'm thinking, I'm about to win the Kentucky Jockey Club for my parents. And that was the second set of the day, and walking off the track for the fourth set of the day, there he is running loose through the barn area. And that's where the break between, well, you know, one of your angrier moments, and then he gets time off for sliding on the road, and then it fills out and develops into this horse. This horse, the whole story of this horse is phenomenal.
I love it. He's a dialed in. He's out of a closing argument mare, kind of a Florida family, and I'll discuss that with Sid on Wednesday, the breeding side of things. You know, you drew inside, which set up, you know, a ground saving stalking type of a trip, and then you had to be thrilled when you saw the two favorites kind of you know, sparring right from the bell.
When the overnight came out and you saw who was where, it was, you know, and what had happened in the Rebel, it just, and I thought you had mentioned at the beginning of this, how Ricardo took advantage of it and the confidence he had in the horse. He used his post position extremely well going into the first turn, and he earned the trip that he got. Solid fraction behind the obvious two choices in the race. But, you know, he probably goes the 47 flat, sub 47, first half mile, and stayed on well at the wire. And, you know, his run in the Rebel was very strong, considering how much time he had missed and where we were at with the horse physically. He encountered a little bit of traffic in the Rebel, which I think which benefited him for the Arkansas Derby because it kept him from overdoing it and knocking himself out.
Well, then it's obviously a case of a plan and all the things that, you know, go into 3-year-old development. You know, I know that, you know, people are looking at the Fig and so forth, Steve, and saying, it's kind of moderate. But for him, it was a clear step forward. And if there's another forward move in him at Churchill, he can be a player.
It's in the stars. You know, so many times when it doesn't go your way, you just say that it wasn't your day. So this story right now feels like it's his day.
Well, and of course, I won't even, I'm not even going to lay the framework out, you know, because of course you're on the short list of horsemen that, you know, where when people come to Derby and when, you know, the Derby field assembles every year, you know, they talk about, you having a Derby with your name on it out there and, you know, Dale Romans and others. And, that would be, I can't even. It's too good of a story to, you know, to take it all the way to that level.
Absolutely, we're you know, we're extremely fortunate and blessed to be in the position to experience what we did on Saturday. I just, you know, mom and dad to be there, Julie, Keith, Darren, Eric, you know, my mother-in-law, my sister-in-law. It was such a warm and happy experience that, you know, just a true blessing in every sense of the word. Wow. we're in this position, you talking to me, any all the success I've had, it's just an extension of, you know, my mom and dad and who they are as people and horsemen, and they've allowed for all of this to happen for us.
Well, plenty more stories to write, obviously, and not that he's going to be your only Derby chance either, Steve. I mean, let's also figure in, as we kind of survey some other results as well, a Midnight Bourbon update.
Well, yeah, and needless to say, we are excited about Derby Week with having Clarier and Pauline's Pearl for Stone Street for Friday in the Oaks, and, you know, Midnight Bourbon and Superstock for Saturday in the Derby. So, obviously, we're a very excited Shedro at this point and expecting great things to happen.
Well, and you mentioned Pauline's Pearl. We didn't talk after the fantasy, but the fantasy win. And I referenced Big Lake. It's interesting, Steve, too, because coming out of Rebel, it felt like he was the horse that really projected toward this race that, could be a real danger. So for you to win anyway with Superstock, that's a story in itself. Give everybody an update on Big Lake, because he's obviously got future.
As you mentioned, Big Lake's horse ran very good numbers, both of his two-turn races at Fairground, going into the Rebel. The contact that he made with the tiring Caddo River on that day, and then, to come out of the race with a crack in a cannon bone, obviously very disappointing to be off the road at that stage, but it is something he will recover from 100%. Big Lake, beautiful individual with just a great disposition. He'll be a good patient. He'll come back stronger and better than ever. The thing that's very exciting about Big Lake is, as accomplished as he is, has been on the dirt, everything about who he is and his pedigree suggests he'll even be better on the dirt.
Probably, 4 months, give or take?
But as much time as he possibly needs. He's a horse that has a talent level that we need to keep around for quite some time.
Got to mention a couple of other, non-stake performers as well, Steve, because one performance, an allowance performance that I thought went a little bit maybe under the radar, given the stakes over the weekend, that Mighty Mischief looks like a horse with upside yet.
He is, just another extremely fast horse for the Heidel Bros He is a Heidelbro type horse, strong, straightforward, and very willing. And a very exciting horse. His last two runs have both been visually impressive, and he is an exciting horse looking at some of the shorter three-year-old races the rest of the year.
He's a homebred too, right? He's a homebred for the Heidelbros.
Absolutely.
Well, and boy. The sprinters in that jacket, something just magical about the orange star.
Yeah, Bill likes speed. He can find his when he's watching a race.
I love it. Yeah, and by the way, speaking of their horses too, you ran that Happy Mac. It won't be a maiden much longer. A seasonal debut, you ran into obviously a really good horse in that following C. So it was actually a pair of run happies, 1-2 in that race.
Absolutely. Yeah, we run in a maiden race that runs faster than last year's Breeders' Cup winner and runner-up. They're on the same card.
Yeah.
What just happened there? Like you mentioned, but Happy Max, very talented horse, but I think he'll stretch out nicely as well.
I want to also slip in from the carousel, very quietly, casual. Those were two heavy heads she was facing, but that was a nice third that she picked up.
And that is horse racing.
You know, we're talking today about Super Stock and the setup that he got that allowed him to win the Arkansas Derby, and the race unfolding is exactly how you envision it to have success. And I thought the Carousel for Casual was exactly the opposite. The race did not set up as we anticipated, and we were not in the right spot to take advantage of how well she actually ran.
Well, and of course for Hillendale and John Sakura and the team, and a couple of other quick notes, Steve, I want to slip in. The going back to the Bayshore last weekend, a lot of people noticed how well Whiskey Double ran, and that's obviously a horse who's going to get some more black type at a high level.
Yeah, the pocket that he, you know, no fault to Jose's at all, just the way the race set up, and he is, for him, wants to get shook loose and finish up in the last eight the way that he did at 7/8. He did, you know, we have very happy with how he came out of the race, went ahead and nominated him to the Pat Day Mile, and moved him to Churchill, and he actually had his first breeze over the racetrack today. He is a colt that broke his maiden in a very solid time last year over the Churchill surface, so that may be a very good option for him.
Nice. I want to ask, too, about the win the other day by Arm Candy at a big price, and the one thing that jumped at me afterward was this was the second time she has run big. Her two best races now have been at Keeneland, and maybe I wish I had seen that before the race.
Keeneland is a unique course. I think that we've handicapping wise follow horses that have had success over Keeneland. You expect it again, and I do believe that to be true. The one thing that may be better than that is her run at Kentucky Downs might actually have been her best run in her first time start.
Yeah.
And I'm with an eye on how much money we get to run for there. I'm anxious to get another opportunity to take her back to Kentucky Downs.
Nice. Going to also feature, should mention, because we talked about it going into last weekend, that field, I know it's not a graded stake and such, just listed. But the field that Abrogate beat in the Purple Martin, that was a good group, Steve, and it was a rich race. And, of course, Willful Women, a win as well for the Lieblongs. What's next for particularly for Abrogate?
Well, spoke with, Alex after Abrogate's win. Very talented filly. Glad to see her turn the tables on him in the Purple Martin. You know, $200,000 3-year-old sprint race. Oakland will put up the money, even if they won't give them the grade. And you get quality when you run at those kind of purses. And she's moved to Churchill as well and is nominated to the 8 belts.
Very nice. And also under the radar, I do want to note that on Thursday, because I asked Mary Rampolini the other day when we went over the Count Fleet, I asked if she knew what was going on with Boldore, and next thing you know, he shows up in the entries.
Yeah, he is actually a stakes winner on the turf, and for money, very versatile horses. Just always fun to run a horse for the oars here at Keeneland that has a good chance. And he's putting together a solid year. But I love the versatility of him of handling surfaces, and I'm anxious for his race this week.
Nice. And regular listeners, when they hear you on a race day like this, very frequently I'll ask about something people can go to the windows on, and you got a pair at Delta this afternoon. Anything to say about Sag Harbor or Walker's Quest?
Well, I think Sag Harbor's in a spot to win. Nice purse Delta for him today, and I expect him to win. Walker's Quest is a horse that has got some ability, but not the experience Sag Harbor does at this point. And we have a couple others later on the card that are going to have a say in the outcome.
I like the way you put that. Moon Lovin's in the sixth. Yamano Maker, the Japanese bread, is in the seventh. And Johnny's Bobby
In the tenth.
Johnny's Bobby. That sounds, I think everybody heard that. And let me see, Steve. Let me just scroll down. Tell me about, Shaldag coming up as well, back again, trying to break the maiden.
That's right. In the Keeneland this week, he's a horse that with time has filled out and developed. I got in a bit of a hurry with him last year for Bloom Racing as well as the Mortons, and gave him a little bit of a break in his last run at the fairgrounds on Louisiana Derby Day. Was a very strong run, and I expect him to run really well this week at Keeneland.
Outstanding. Steve, that's plenty, and a special weekend at Arkansas Derby, another one in the books, and congratulations. The Oaks Derby weekend going to be very special, and keep everybody healthy, happy, and we'll see you in the Downs.
That sounds good. Thank you.
Not at all. Steve Asmussen, everybody, with a lot of good things happening in the barn, and some opportunity as soon as this afternoon at Delta. Let's take a break. Top of the hour is here already. Actually, we're 5 minutes in. Jay Privman going to join us, and we will do the post-prep run rundown with Jay. Derby Watch, DRF Privman. After this, later, Eric Hallstrom is joining us. You know what happens tomorrow. Indiana Grand kicks off. Andy Serling is going to do a rare Monday visit. Rich Migliori, by the way, normally Rich has been on this hour. Rich is getting his tuxedo fitted for his son Joseph's wedding. So we'll talk to Rich tomorrow. Back after this, Jay Privman. At the Races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 3-8-4-6-4-3.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
A great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Sirius XM Sports.